We would all like to know the future, and God is revealing to us something of what heaven is like and how the people there are. What qualities do we want to have in the kingdom of heaven? It's very hard for us to picture this place, but it's very real, and that world is one that we will all be entering. So only our Lord, who's come from there, can tell us what it's really like so that we can be prepared and know what true wealth is and how to acquire it. I was thinking this week in praying over these scriptures about something that happened 30 years ago. Those of you who are older will probably remember this. My mother had a CD in the bank. I think it was a two-year CD. And I remember her complaining about it. And she said, "Boy, these banks, I can't get a good interest rate. It's only 19%. Anybody here remember those days? And now what is it? 0.5%, you know, if you're lucky. Or again, you know, occasionally, I never would watch these things, but you can remember some of these infomercials and books. No money down, remember that? There's no real estate investment that will ever go down. We're in a new paradigm. Things are all just going to keep going up forever. Well, that was false, you know. We're back to the real world again. The same thing with stocks. People forget it goes up and down. I don't know what causes this. I'm not in the finance industry. I just know it looks like the lottery to me, you know. We've had these series of crashes, and then it goes back up. And it seems to me the only good investment, really, that's done really well in the last 9 years is gold and silver. You know, a lot of people can't afford to invest in that. And we have people here who have a lot of money to invest, and we have people that are living paycheck to paycheck. And you ask yourself, why am I talking about this? Because Christ wants us to think beyond just the things of this world, but to the world to come. Everything that God permits or allows in our life is with the idea that it is good for us in the long run. And many of the things that we run away from are precisely the things that will bring the most valuable in the kingdom of God. But we don't want them because they don't look valuable now. In fact, and I totally agree with this because I run away from many of these things. We don't want them because they're painful. And yet, these are the things we will wish we had more of after we die. Many of us are like investors looking for short-term profits, and they don't look at the long-term consequences of their actions. St. Teresa of Avila said, "We are people who look for ready cash. That's the only currency that we want. We don't want to be a long-term investor. We're like travelers on a two-week trip, and all we think about is how much money we'll have in exchange into the currency that we're traveling in, without any thought whatsoever to whether we have anybody waiting to meet us at the airport when we arrive home, or money to get by after we get there. Otherwise, we're liable to be stuck with nothing but refrigerator magnets. Meaningless. These things mean a lot now, and God requires us to be thinking about our families and our finances, but He also wants us to be investing for the kingdom of God. And the great thing about it is that it doesn't matter our state in life. Everyone from somebody over in Avamere here who is immobile all the way to somebody in the prime of life, somebody in school right now, young people, all of us have the same opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God, which lasts forever. It has no bearing on our social status, income status, or opportunities, or talents. We all have access to the same great gold and silver that's laying around us, but we don't recognize it because we're not really listening to what God says. The world comes and it tells us, "Cursed are you who mourn. Do everything you can to anesthetize yourself and laugh." But Christ says, "Blessed are you who mourn." Nobody wants to mourn. I don't want to mourn either. I know you don't. It means I'm going to lose something precious. But what happens? And many of us were at the funeral last Tuesday. What happens when we mourn? It means that I loved somebody, and they loved me, and I miss them. To have mourned is to have loved. And in our faith, we have the hope that the person we lost will be restored to us one day. And how much greater our heart will be for having lost them for a short while. To have mourned is to become like Christ, who wept over Jerusalem because of its lack of faith. Do I mourn for the condition of the world? When I hear the news about Egypt, do I mourn for those people? See, this is the quality of God. The world tells us, cursed are you who are poor. God forbid that you should have to do without in anything, that you might not have the talents that you need to get through life or the money that you wish you had. But God says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you when I take something away from you that you need, because then I have to fill you. And you will be more open in the kingdom of God forever. I went to a youth. Our young adults are having a retreat this weekend. All the whole Salem area. It's about 60 of them there. And six of us priests went over there for confession. I was a little bit late. Wouldn't you know it, I got up to Turner. And guess what happened? Ding, 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 ding. And I said, no, 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 Lord, no, no. God didn't listen to me. I actually had the thought of going around the barriers briefly. But fortunately, I lived. I didn't do that. That's a trivial example. Blessed are the merciful. What does our world say? Maybe not directly. Blessed are the ruthless. Blessed are those who are single-minded to get what they want and don't care about anybody else. Blessed are those who get what they want. Blessed are those with power and money and fame. God wants us to be merciful. Am I a merciful person? I preach about it twice a year on Mercy Sunday, and when this comes up, we have to keep reminding ourselves of this. Am I merciful to the person I don't like? Am I merciful to the person who I want to talk about behind their back? To the person under me, if I'm in a position of authority in my family or at work or even at school? Am I merciful to the person that's different? The person that gets in my way? Or who doesn't have the correct change in line and has to hold me up for 10 minutes at some place of business? Or the person on the phone that has a thick accent? Who may have taken my job? This is how we grow. I'm going to want mercy on the last day. These are not worldly qualities. The world hates these things, most of them. Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, we all want to be a peacemaker, but the reality is a lot of us are troublemakers. Except me. The worst one, of course, is nobody wants this. Blessed are you when you're insulted, persecuted, and every kind of evil against you said falsely because of me. I'll speak personally. There isn't a priest that ever lived that hasn't experienced that one. And all of you who have been in charge of something know we have to make tough decisions that sometimes people don't like. And if you do it for God, the bell goes off every time somebody misjudges me for something I've done. It's just part of the game, you know. But really, if you've ever taken a stand that's tough, if you've ever done something kind for someone and been misjudged poorly, and who hasn't had that experience? If you ever tried to do something nice and gotten blamed instead, you've had to stick up for your faith when it was not comfortable to do so, you have won the grand prize. Now, why are these virtues so important? You're looking at the very things that will be most valuable on the day of your death. These are the very things we do our best to get away from. And I'm included in that. So we're reminded of this in the gospel. It is because when you hear the Beatitudes, you are hearing a description of Jesus Christ. He had all eight of those qualities. And so as much as I have shared with them, will I be able to relate to him on the deepest level in the next world? If I've never suffered a deep loss, I will not understand a quality of God that I will want to understand forever. If I have had nothing but riches and a good time and partied all my life, I will not understand anything about God who gave up everything out of love for me. I'll still be happy in heaven, but think of how much poorer I will be for not knowing that part of God. Every time I resist God's attempts to lead me down one of these beatitudes, which is suffering, each one of them is involves suffering, I have given up wealth that I will lose forever in heaven. It's very hard to understand this. We will continue to resist God, but he really wants us to know where the best investments lie. Now, the world, of course, does not want any of these things, but we should know better. So while we're working on our portfolio of assets, such as they are, whether a little or a lot, we know that these beatitudes, though they do not look valuable now, will be the greatest and most valuable assets in my portfolio on the last day.